Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, David, you can see it, man. My show prep isn't even organized yet. So I spent like 15 minutes, and I think I finally found the audio clip of New York Governor Kathy Hochul. And then it just got lost track of that one. But this Kami Mamdani was on Capitol Hill yesterday, the New York City Democrat candidate for mayor. And a lot of the Democrats were just gushing over him and welcoming this, you know, outright communist who has talked about globalizing the Intifada and killing Jews worldwide. I mean, which is what globalize the Intifada means. And a lot of Democrats were welcoming him with opening arms. But Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, I heard it on Fox and Friends earlier this morning. She actually came out and said a couple of things. She said, one, she will block his tax plan that will just crush New York because he wants to, you know, tax the rich at astronomical rates. And then she also kind of called him out for this globalize the Intifada remarks, which he tried to walk back on Capitol Hill yesterday. He apparently is saying, oh, well, I will not use those words, or I will encourage other people not to use those words.
But he won't denounce them.
Yeah, but he won't denounce them. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like, okay, we're not asking you whether you're going to use them again. Or, by the way, and this kind of dovetails right into the story that I was going to bring up today as my woke update, because what you're seeing here with the Democrats is they're not moving to the middle. They're not moving to the right. They didn't learn their lesson from 2024. When are they going to learn their lesson from 2024? The CNN data chief just recently brought up a brutal reality check for the Democrats, saying, yes, Donald Trump might be unpopular, but, and of course, now, of course, we're going into the midterm elections, you know, here next year. And of course, they're looking at the generic congressional ballot. Democrats are currently way behind their 06 and their 18 paces when it comes to the generic congressional ballot. And of course, you look at 06 and you look at 18 because those were midterm elections with the Republican presidents. Democrats at the moment only have a 2-point lead over Republicans as opposed to a 7-point lead they enjoyed in July of the year before those two midterm elections. Yes, Trump may be unpopular, but Democrats have not come anywhere close to sealing the deal. And so, of course, you would expect the Republicans to do bad in an upcoming midterm congressional race. But, Aaron, the reason I bring up that story in response to what you're talking about is because, isn't it obvious? The reason the Democrats can't get their generic congressional ballot pulling up is because they've got people like Mamdani running their show. And that's, and then AOC, you know, AOC potentially going to challenge Chuck Schumer in New York City. Wouldn't that be the most perfect midterm election setup for us, is if we had AOC and Mamdani, you know, the Democrat leaders going into our midterms? Everybody's so worried about these midterms. I mean, if the Democrats are putting up people like that and putting up these anti-Semitic Jew hater candidates that literally are absolute Jew haters, like this Mamdani guy, disgusting, despicable people, I feel pretty good about our midterm potentials.
Well, hey, you mentioned CNN polling, yeah, that they talked about a week ago. CNN's Harry Enten, that's their pollster, just came out with another series of data where he says, he basically is shattering the blue wave hype, and you know, for the various reasons you just mentioned. And then, you know, Bozeman Democrats waving the rainbow flag, that ain't helping either.
Here's a look at your Montana weather. For Billings and Bozeman, there is a fog possible around the region early on today. Otherwise, we're looking at sunny skies with high temperature readings ranging from the mid to upper 80s. For tonight, with mainly clear skies, overnight lows will stay in the lower 50s in Bozeman and near 60 in Billings. And then the outlook for Friday does call for sunshine, with highs back into the mid and upper 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
President Trump, talking to reporters at length yesterday, unloaded again on Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, saying he's a knucklehead, he should have lowered interest rates a long time ago, and kind of forgetting the fact that it was Donald Trump in his first term who first put Powell as head of the Fed. Even more amazing, while Trump was saying that it was highly unlikely that he would fire Jay Powell before his term expires next year, there were banner headlines up Fox, MSNBC, and others. Sources say that he has the draft letter ready. He's ready to fire Powell. He had showed this off to House Republicans, asked what they thought. But at the same time, there's even a question about whether he has the power to do that. But he's certainly beating him up. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Zipper's use disorder and addiction is so isolating. And so, as a Black woman in recovery, hope must be loud. It grows louder when you ask for help and you're vulnerable. It is the thread that lets you know that no matter what happens, you will be okay.
When we learn the power of hope, recovery is possible. Find out how at startwithhope.com. Brought to you by the National Council for Mental Wellbeing, Shatterproof, and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with David Noble joining us here in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. Yeah, oh, the other thing that was interesting about the Kami Mamdani, or I think Sean Hannity calls him the Marxist Mamdani, either way, same thing, but is so he was doing this big breakfast on Capitol Hill with congressional Democrats yesterday, and on Fox and Friends earlier this morning, they were saying how, you know, some of the Fox reporters were going to try to catch up with him and interview him and ask him a couple of questions after he came out of the breakfast. And basically they told the media, here's the entrance. Then they had to hide Mamdani and shuttle him out the back door so that he could avoid any of the cameras and any of the press questions. It's like, what a bunch of cowards. It's like, this guy's their candidate. They're welcoming him with open arms, but then they want to hide him from any of the cameras when he makes this big Capitol Hill appearance.
Well, it worked with Joe Biden, I guess. Why wouldn't they try it here?
Yeah, great point. Great point. Woke updates of the week. Let's see. We were going to talk about something else after the break there, too. You can see I need more coffee here this morning. What was the other thing we were going to get to?
So you were talking about that, the Cottonwood Environmental Law Center lawsuit. And what I find so funny about that and interesting about that is I interviewed that guy on Montana Talks about a year ago when he was running for Bozeman mayor. And his whole thing was we've got to completely shut down all construction. We've got to completely shut down all developments. You know, we're totally running out of water. And then this whole thing about the Big Sky Irrigation District, apparently, you know, he's been lying about, you know, what they're doing with their water and all this. So he's this weird sort of water guy. You know, it's good to see our judges actually. Here's one of the things, Aaron, okay? Oftentimes in litigation, when you're in a lawsuit, most of the time people get very, very upset that the other side is able to lie and that the courts oftentimes give them a little bit of leeway. And of course, it's from the court's perspective, you know, you don't know who's lying at the outset of a case. And so you want to give leeway to the parties, you know, give them their day in court, let them present their case. And so for this case to be dismissed and for this judge to go that hard against them, it really, really has to be very, very egregious. You know, even outside what normal people might say is like, wow, I can't believe a lawyer is making that claim. That's a stretch argument. This is even beyond that, like to 10 times, which just kind of goes to show you. You know, maybe the guy that runs that place, maybe he wouldn't be a good mayor.
Well, I also think what's interesting is, yeah, it's embarrassing for an environmental law firm to get schwacked by a radical environmentalist judge. That's massive. But I also think it's also the other thing that I think could be going on here, too, is it's also a sign, you know, there's some good patriotic conservatives in Big Sky and in the Big Sky area. But there's also a lot of Patagonia liberals that have friends in high places as well. So and if you're you know, falsifying claims against and then basically driving up the costs. But what's amazing to me here, you know, you could tick off some of those Patagonia liberals that have friends in high places as well, right? But here's what I found interesting. So the Big Sky Water and Sewer District, according to this Explore Big Sky article, they burned through $3 million in a five-year legal defense. And apparently now the Big Sky County Water and Sewer District has earned $7,500 in legal recourse. David, I went to the University of Montana School of Journalism, so math is not my strong suit. But if they've lost $3 million fighting these fraudulent claims against them, $7,500 in legal recourse, the math doesn't seem to add up there to me.
No, and it's a common complaint about our system here in the United States that everybody sort of has to pay their own attorney's fees, even if you win the lawsuit. You can get sued. You can get sued on a claim that's not a valid claim and spend a bunch of money defending yourself, win the thing, and unless there's a statute or a contract, you may not have the ability to recover your fees. Of course, in Europe, they do it a little bit differently, where the loser of the lawsuit always has to pay the fees of the other side. Lots of people here in the United States have been pushing that change at the national and the state level to make us go to a loser-pay system, which would massively cut. I think Elon Musk actually supported going to a loser-pay system, and he even said that would get rid of 90% of the lawsuits in this country. Of course, what's really crazy, Aaron, is worldwide, over 90% of all the lawsuits in the world are filed in the United States of America. Worldwide, 90% of the lawsuits are filed here. I mean, we're just a very litigious society. Now, of course, the other side of the coin is we have a functioning justice system that, you know, yeah, there's lots of problems with it, and there's lots of injustices that happen in our justice system. But you know what? It's still the best in the world. And the other side of that coin is, well, the reason we have so many lawsuits in this country is because we do have a functioning justice system where you actually can get your rights.
And frankly, most of the world's business is done in the United States of America.
Right.
So legal business included, right? When you have everything else that's happening here in the United States of America. This was something, just to throw out a quick woke update. Well, actually, let's stick with the judges here. I talked about it already earlier this week, but speaking of federal judges, another liberal federal judge, Dana Christensen, basically said, hey, I don't have jurisdiction. And basically did not take up the case of this illegal alien who claims that he was wrongfully detained in Helena, Montana. He says, no, I don't have jurisdiction. And so I think the Supreme Court is starting to have an impact finally on some of these district judges.
Well, yeah, think about how absurd that case was, Aaron. And if the federal district court had jurisdiction over that, it would bring a grinding halt to the entire system, because all that case was an actual illegal alien, an admitted illegal alien, saying, hey, you racially profiled me, therefore, like, you know, everything has to stop and I should, you know, tie this thing up in district court. No, sorry, that's not how it works.
All right, I'm slowly but surely getting organized now. I want to go back to the CNN blue wave hype story right after this and another woke update.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
President Trump, talking to reporters at length yesterday, unloaded again on Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, saying he's a knucklehead, he should have lowered interest rates a long time ago, and kind of forgetting the fact that it was Donald Trump in his first term who first put Powell as head of the Fed. Even more amazing, while Trump was saying that it was highly unlikely that he would fire Jay Powell before his term expires next year, there were banner headlines up. Fox, MSNBC, and others. Sources say that he has the draft letter ready. He's ready to fire Powell. He had showed this off to House Republicans, asked what they thought. But at the same time, there's even a question about whether he has the power to do that, but he's certainly beating him up. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
I thought, what the heck? Let's throw this story in there. It was a story from Cowboy State Daily talking about a new thermal feature, a baby blue thermal feature in Yellowstone National Park. What the heck? Let's throw it in on this show. If anything, it gives me an excuse to play a George Strait song on the radio. Hey, you never know what we're going to talk about on Montana Talks, because this is the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana. Montana Talks statewide, 9 to 10 right here.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins has unveiled a new plan to strengthen USDA's efforts to combat foodborne illness, announced during the opening of the updated Midwestern Food Safety Laboratory in St. Louis. The initiative aims to enhance the food safety and inspection service through improved microbiological testing, inspector training, stronger state partnerships, and more practical approaches to reducing salmonella in poultry. Rollins emphasized the goal of ensuring consumer confidence in upholding top-tier safety standards for meat, poultry, and ag products. It's rodeo time in Stamford. Don't miss the 61st annual C.M. Russell Stampede, July 19th and 20th at the Duke Basin County Fairgrounds. Saturday, July 19th kicks off with live music starting at 3, followed by the Quick Finish Art Auction at 5:30, featuring some of the Northwest's premier artists. Top off the day with a street dance as well. Then on Sunday, the 20th at 1:30, it's all-out PRCA rodeo action. Tickets are $12 in advance, $15 at the gate. Kids under 8, just 10. Come join the fun. Full details at cmrstampede.com. The U.S. Trade Representative has launched a Section 301 investigation into Brazil over potentially unfair trade practices, including tariffs and ethanol market access. The U.S. Grains Council praised the move, calling it a long overdue step towards fair treatment for American ethanol producers. The USTR has cited Brazil's barriers as past reports and says they now warrant a thorough review. I'm Lane Nordlund.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's actually a Daily Wire story. I was thinking it was a Daily Caller story, but both great sources to read on a regular basis here. CNN data chief shatters blue wave hype. Democrats' 2026 lead less than half of past midterms. So typically in a midterm election, the party in power is typically always loses seats, is always running behind. But apparently it's the Democrats that are not doing so well right now, according to CNN data chief Harry Enten.
The bottom line is this. Democrats are behind their 2006 and 2018 paces when it comes to the generic congressional ballot. What are we talking about here? All right, the Democrats versus the Republicans on the generic congressional ballot, the margins. Look at where we are now. Democrats are ahead, but by just 2 points. Look at where Democrats were already ahead by in 2017. They were behind by 7 points. How about 2005 on the generic congressional ballot? Ahead by 7 points, ahead by 7 points, and now they're only ahead by 2 points. Their lead is less than half of where it was in either 2017 or 2005 in July of those years, the year before the midterm election.
All right, and then he goes on to say, David, here that this election cycle coming up more closely resembles 2024 than either of the previous Democratic wave years. So that was what Harry Enten had to say here. But a lead nonetheless, right, in these generic congressional ballots, right?
Yeah, and we know that Republicans always poll about 10 points better than some of these types of things. And so if that's where we're at now, fantastic. Here's what I love about this story. All the Democrats that I talk to who spend their days watching The View and watching CNN and watch the Sunday shows, not ironically and sarcastically like I watch the Sunday shows, but can you imagine, Aaron, genuinely watching some of the Sunday shows? Can you imagine actually getting news from Meet the Press or Face the Nation and thinking that's real information, or reading the New York Times? But these people, Aaron, out there, they actually think that there's going to be a blue wave. They'll sit there and they'll tell you, oh, I just can't wait till next year because the American people are going to finally voice their huge rejection of the stupid Trump tariffs, and Trump's so stupid. And that's what I love about this story. It's like, hello, Earth to the Democrats. Come in. Like, what planet are are you guys living on? You've got Mamdani and AOC, and you got AOC and Bernie doing huge rallies in Missoula. You've got Mamdani winning races, and now you've got Cuomo in New York. He's going to run an independent campaign, and he says he's in it to win it. And it's just like, do you guys have anything other than just like Jew hater, radical extremist, nutjob communist, and then a bunch of career politicians like Cuomo?
And then they got, and then who do the Montana Democrats have? I mean, Zoe Zephyr is still their flag bearer. AOC called him out at the rally in Missoula. And then the Bussey family was featured. I mean, Ryan Bussey, I mean, really, that's who the Democrats are going to put up once again? Go for it. Go for it. They think they're going to have a blue wave with a shark like that?
Right. So I love that story. Just I wish the Democrats were smart enough to listen to a show like this so that they could get that information and they could realize that they're not living in reality. If you watch The View every day, you're not living in reality, folks.
Yeah. Well, they listen. We know that. It's
no, they do. They do.
In fact, speaking of those who listen, we know that State Senator Ellie Boldman, Democrat out of Missoula, will listen from time to time. And she's somebody you can have a good conversation with, and she's willing to work with Republicans. But she was just tweeting yesterday about how there's a Democrat civil war. So maybe I should see if we can get her on the show to talk about what she sees as the Democrat civil war. But let's go to another woke update of the week here. David, you could maybe even call this a Trump W as well. Did you see this Associated Press story? The biggest gender-affirming care center for trans kids in the U.S. is closing.
Wow.
Shutting its doors. One of these chop shops targeting kids with the whole transgender thing. Shutting its doors completely. Where is this at? This is the...
It's amazing what happens when you shut down USAID.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, let's see. This is the Center for Trans Youth Health and Development at the Children's Hospital in Los Angeles. That's where they were apparently chopping up kids, was that place. I thought there was a place in Chicago or something. Maybe I'll have to scroll through the article a little bit more here. But yeah, I mean, you know, you've had President Trump's executive orders that have come out. And even here in Montana, even though we've had a liberal state district judge in Missoula, if I'm not mistaken, block the Montana law protecting kids from this type of stuff, I think the message has come from the Gianforte administration that they better knock this stuff off, because they've been knocking this stuff off, in places like Missoula and elsewhere, and the liberals are all mad. Why are you stopping this so-called gender-affirming care? The judge blocked it. It's like, yeah, there's still a few other factors at play here, folks.
Well, yeah, the weird thing is that they will not. Here's what my concern is, Aaron. They're just doing this for the elections. They might shut these things down. They may say, hey, we're not going to do this. Hey, we're going to shut this down. Hey, we think the science isn't there yet to support this. But the problem is if they win an election, we all know for a fact they're going right back to it.
They're bringing it right back. Yep. The knives will come right back out again for kids. That's for David Noble. David, I kicked off the show in the 6 o'clock hour talking about this incredibly great news that happened overnight. So One Big Beautiful Bill, a lot of great things in the One Big Beautiful Bill. But what many of us, you and me and a lot of our listeners, we really wanted to see more spending reductions. Hard to do that in a reconciliation package, but that's when a rescissions package comes in. And the House of Representatives got immediately to work after passing the One Big Beautiful Bill. They got a rescissions package across the finish line. That triggered a 45-day deadline. That deadline is tomorrow. The Senate, overnight, they worked overnight, and Republican senators, by and large, held it together, and they passed a $9 billion rescissions package. So a good first step here.
I think it's a great first step. I think getting rid of funding and taxpayer funding for public media is a great first step. However, I have to say this, Aaron, I have to say this. As a fiscal conservative, I'm looking at a budget deficit of $2 trillion. $9 billion off of $2 trillion leaves us with $1.97 trillion of still needed cuts. Okay. And so you honestly, I don't think you can ever balance the budget And keep a healthy military budget unless you're willing to look at reforming the entitlement program, sending some of this stuff back to the state. Now, I'm hopeful that with new work requirements for Medicaid and with simply a booming economy under the Trump administration, we may see entitlement spending come down, particularly on Medicaid. But for Social Security and Medicare, those programs are also going bankrupt. I think the last time I guest hosted the show, Aaron, there was a recent update from the Social Security trustees. The Social Security trustees just moved up the bankruptcy date for Social Security. It's 7 years out now. It's 2034, something like that. So Social Security and Medicare are going bankrupt. They're going insolvent. We're going to have problems with those. And so people like me and, you know, Senator Tom McGillivray, conservatives out there like that here in Yellowstone County have been raising this issue for a long time. And you know what? Maybe Donald Trump had to say, I'm not touching entitlements politically to win the election. And if that's the case, that's unfortunate, because the American people need to demand a balanced budget. And $9 billion off a $2 trillion deficit doesn't get us there. And $9 billion cut from a $7 trillion yearly budget is not enough. And so
that's why this is a great first step. But this also goes on top of what was implemented with the DOGE cuts as well. But then there's a lot that needs to be codified on top of that that couldn't be done in a reconciliation package. But what I think we are seeing is we're seeing movement much in the same direction that Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich started to move things in back when he was Speaker of the House. We're finally seeing that for the first time in,
that's
what, 30 years.
And I listened to Miranda Devine's new podcast, Pod Force One.
She's awesome.
With Mike Johnson, and Mike Johnson said exactly that, Aaron. It's a great point, which is the U.S. government is like a ship. And now, for the first time in a generation, we have actually made cuts. That alone is a huge step in the right direction. You're slowly turning the ship. We actually have cuts. It's almost unheard of.
It's massive. Yeah, it is huge. All right, we'll talk more right after this.
Hey, everyone.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so the rescissions package, we can talk more about that. Yeah, this was a vote that took place overnight. That's great news, and hopefully just the first of more rescissions packages to come. The other thing that's interesting, David, of course, then we've got the appropriations process. What the rescissions package does is it peels back spending that had already been approved, that had already been authorized, and it peels that back. DOGE peeled back a lot of that. Man, last week while you were filling in on the show, you had so many great Montana Supreme, or U.S. Supreme, not Montana, our Supreme Court is still a mess. The U.S. Supreme Court, I mean, they greenlit, basically President Trump, that, you know, is now going to start trimming back the bureaucracy by thousands of employees at the Department of Education. The Supreme Court said, yeah, we're not stopping that. We can't stop that. So that is also going to impact that. Think of that like more DOGE cuts that are going to be coming in terms of spending reductions on top of it. But then we've got the appropriations process to peel back more of this spending as well. Oh, but then on top of that, June of this year, for the first time since Trump was president the first time, we actually had a budget surplus in Washington, D.C. It's crazy to think of this idea of a budget surplus. We're used to it in Helena now, thanks to Republican leadership there. We're not used to hearing about that in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, no, that's all correct, Aaron, and especially with that Supreme Court ruling saying the Department of that Trump can start firing and kind of shutting down the Department of Education. You know, the real way to think about that is not to think about, well, this is a congressionally authorized department and Trump is just firing all these people. But no, think about, you know, Trump as the CEO, and he's trying to hire and fire people, and you've got a district court that's going to come in and say, oh, you can fire that person, you can't fire this person, you can fire that person. It's like, no, that's not how this works. The president gets to hire and fire federal employees, and the courts really kind of have to follow the law, but that's a core executive function. What I'm hopeful about, Aaron, is with, when you're, I think you're right talking about, think about all of the money that the Trump administration is saving in terms of terminating all these federal employees and doing all of those things. But that's not necessarily going to show up until we go through the appropriations process. Because what I'm hopeful is when the executive branch reports to Congress during this appropriations process coming up, all of a sudden it's like, hey, we have a bunch of extra money here. Congress, you gave us all this money. We still got a whole bunch of it because we didn't spend it on payroll. We didn't spend it on salary. And so does that help us going forward get a much more closer to a balanced budget simply because of the DOGE cuts and the Department of Education and everything like that? And so I'm really hopeful that we're going to start seeing some of those efficiencies come through, because how else? I mean, at what point do we learn? You know, how much money have we saved with the DOGE cuts with the Department of Education? I think you're going to learn that coming up here as we go through this process.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of process, I think folks would be interested in hearing from you on how this process works. It's interesting. So obviously, we had the tragic news of Yellowstone County Commissioner John Ostlund dying in that plane crash here recently. I was at his memorial service on Saturday morning, and it was a remarkable service and everything like that to honor a great man. But now, of course, you've got to try to replace that seat. There's no way you'll ever replace John Ostlund, but you've got to try to fill that county commissioner seat. So you, because you are on the Yellowstone County Republican Central Committee, you got to be a part of this process. So you had about a dozen applicants put their names in the hat to be appointed to fill that seat. You had to boil it down to three names. And so what was the process like for you?
Yeah, so Montana's state code actually provides that when there's a vacancy in this position, that the county central committee for the party gets to submit three names to the other two commissioners, and then they get to choose. But of course, there's a similar process when there's a state legislative vacancy, and the county central committee has a role to play there. And so we had a great turnout last night. We had, I think, 40, 45 of our precinct representatives here from Yellowstone County. Our chairwoman, Pam Pierrington, had appointed a selection committee to kind of narrow down the 12 applicants down to six for the whole central committee to have some more extensive interview from last night, which we did. And so then we got the six through, and they did about 10 to 15 minute sort of question and answer session in front of the whole central committee. And then we handed out ballots, and everybody wrote their names down, counted them up, and I really think we came up with a really solid group of three people that we can submit to the county commissioners. Charlie Loveridge, obviously, a real good choice there. Kirk Bushman, longstanding Republican, and then Mr. White, the Albertsons guy, Chris White, who's business guy, really good at sort of making sure that our money, our taxpayer dollars, are going to the right place. That's what I liked about him, frankly, is, he manages an Albertsons store and really knows how to balance a budget. And frankly, we need somebody on the Yellowstone County Commission that's looking closely at the budget and saving every penny we can.
And that's what John Austin, they talked about that on Saturday at his memorial service, about how, he'd keep those vehicles running and keep them maintained, so you didn't have to go out and buy a bunch of new vehicles, because he worked his way up through the road department. But he'd also say, look, if it's not in the budget, we're not paying for it. There's a lot of things that we want to have, but who's going to pay for it? And he'd always ask that question. Looking forward to that. So now the two commissioners, Commissioner Morse and Waters, will then vote, and of course they have to be unanimous, because it takes two to get the majority.
I think they're planning on doing that next week. So we may hear within the week who our new county commissioner is.
All right. Let's see. What else do you want to talk about before we run out of time here this morning? I know we've got a guest coming up. I probably need to remind our team, let's try not to schedule guests on Thursdays in the 7 o'clock hour, because we've got a great guest every Thursday in the 7 o'clock hour, but sometimes that's just how it rolls. But anyway, what do you want to talk about, David, before I throw another topic or three at you?
Well, I mean, everything I'm reading lately, Aaron, has mostly to do with foreign policy. It's kind of one of my issues. What I find amazing is just all of the stuff going on around the world with the Trump administration and what they're doing right now. now. So, for example, the Panama Canal deal is still sort of going on. There's a big Wall Street Journal article out this morning about China threatening to block the Panama ports deal unless they get some different things. There's another story here. There's a U.S.-based Wells Fargo banker that was just blocked from leaving China. And, of course, the U.S. has been putting out travel warnings about traveling to China. If you're an American citizen, it's very risky to travel to China because you can have an exit ban put on you. You could be going to China to be a tourist, go visit the Great Wall, and go to leave China, and you could be detained and prevented from leaving. That's very common for Americans. Of course, China is ramping up its Taiwan military drills going on around there, and, you know, you've got the Russia-Ukraine situation. Trump is still focused on bringing that war to an end. So, and then, of course, I called in on Monday when you were talking about, you know, did the show for 3 days, and then, yeah, you know, 6 a.m. hour Monday morning, you started out the week talking about, you know, Donald Trump doing basically what amounts to an arms deal to Europe. It just so happens that they're going to turn around and give it to Ukraine. But the fact that the sort of the U.S. is now doubling down and sort of, you know, ramping up arms production there, it's, I think Trump's doing a good job on foreign policy. It's just that particular war, the Russia-Ukraine war, is just not that easy to solve.
Well, Trump has promises made, promises kept. And he wants to get this war done with. He wants to end it. He doesn't want us paying all this money for it. And, yeah, he's there. Europe is buying the munitions, and then Europe will give them to Ukraine. But at the end of the day, look, Trump made it clear, like, if Putin doesn't end this war, then he's going to ramp it up to make sure this thing comes to an end. Promises made, promises kept. He didn't say he's just going to sit there and let Putin do whatever he wants. But there's some on the right who think that somehow was the Make America Great Again agenda. That was never part of the MAGA agenda.
But here's the weird thing, Aaron. Where are all the Democrats praising Donald Trump for continuing to hold Russia's feet to the fire on this?
And without us having to pay more money to do it. Yeah, where's all the people with the blue and gold and their profile photos on X?
Yeah, the
and,
Ukrainian flags, yeah.
Yeah, bunch of woke virtue signaling,
I haven't seen any of those leftists tweeting out, like, thank you, President Trump, and then with the little Ukraine flag.
Maybe they're going to re-rack the Save Our Girls hashtag for Sudan or something like that. You know, they go back to that one from the Michelle Obama days. That's all they're good with is profile photo frames and hashtags, but actually delivering for people and, you know, they don't waste their time with that kind of stuff. What about President Trump? Now, not only does he get to nominate one federal judge for Montana, but two federal judges. That is massive.
Well, and we're getting two new state district court judges here in Yellowstone County that Governor Gene Forster is going to get to appoint. So,
yeah. Yeah, what's the timeline on that? Is it probably later, towards the end of the summer, I think?
Not sure. And, in fact, it came up last night with some of the county commissioners because, obviously, the county has some role to play in providing space for these new judges and things like that. So.
Yeah, in fact, I caught up with Chief Justice Corey Swanson a while back. I feel like either the end of the summer or the early fall is when they're looking to start that process. That's great.
Wonder if there's any good lawyers in Yellowstone County for Governor Gianforte to consider.
I know a guy. He's a lecture fan. David Noble with a K. That's right. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Starbucks. Smooth, bright, deliciously crafted. Introducing Starbucks Sincera Blend, their smoothest, brightest coffee yet. It's a new kind of light roast, one that's packed with so much flavor, it shines no matter how you brew it. So go ahead and try it hot, iced, black, or with a splash of creamer. Visit athome.starbucks.com/Sincera-blend-coffee to bring Starbucks Sincera Blend home.
Fox News commentary.
Bees are, for lack of a better term, dropping like flies this year, and it has the potential to change our food supply. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From around the world, Trey Hingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel, to Washington,
I'm Mike Emanuel,
to your own backyard. If a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
In an unexplained and underreported phenomenon, bees in the U.S. are dropping dead, with hundreds of millions dying in the last 8 months. Scientists have not been able to pinpoint just what it is that's causing these mass bee deaths, but some believe it could be weather patterns or changing habitats. You know, it might not seem like a big deal if you're not a beekeeper, but if you like honey, almonds, fruits, and vegetables, this should concern you. Not only do bees make our honey, they pollinate 75% of the fruits, vegetables, and nuts in the U.S., which amounts to a staggering $15 billion worth of crops. If this trend of bee deaths continues for multiple years, our food supply is in big trouble. Professional beekeepers are also being hit hard financially, some unable to sustain their beekeeping businesses. So this isn't just a bee issue, this is a national food security crisis in the making. Protect the bees. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather. For Billings and Bozeman, is a fog possible around the region early on today? Otherwise, we're looking at sunny skies with high temperature readings ranging from the mid to upper 80s. For tonight, with mainly clear skies, overnight lows will stay in the lower 50s in Bozeman, near 60 in Billings. And the outlook for Friday does call for sunshine with highs back into the mid and upper 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
Hey, we got a BOLO alert. Be on the lookout. Some guy stole a fancy pickup and a really nice-looking RV. Plus, he defrauded a bunch of other people in Billings along the way. So be on the lookout for a specific pickup and this specific RV. Go to MontanaTalks.com. You'll see the video. You can see the guy's picture. You can see a photo of the RV and the pickup to be on the look.
16th under Montana's Big Sky. Get your tickets now at metropark.com. Rodeo Billings, where the West lives on.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, it's crazy. It's already July 17th, and so we're right smack dab in the middle of summer. How many of you have ever been to Cowboy Christmas down in Las Vegas during the National Finals Rodeo? Man, we did our show from down there one time, and holy cow, that is insane. But here's what else was interesting is, of course, you know, I think that was, what was it, 2021, I think, when I did the show down at Cowboy Christmas. And we were right in the middle of this massive explosion slash revival of Western culture and Western lifestyle and Western fashion, you name it. And, of course, you see it all on display when you're down at Cowboy Christmas. But, hey, let's be honest. Here it's summertime, which means it's rodeo season. It's music, concerts, festivals, you name it. In fact, there's a big one coming up in Whitefish once again, the Under the Big Sky Festival. Great to have with us right now. We've got Aisha Nicole, Senior Vice President of Creative and Marketing at Boot Barn. Aisha, thanks for being with us here. Yeah, what are kind of some of the latest trends in Western fashion that you're seeing out there right now?
Well, thank you for having me. I'd say there's three big trends that we're going to see at Under the Big Sky. The first one I like to call Vintage Americana, and this is for both men and women. And it's a focus on the distressed denim and subtle nuances of red, white, and blue. And for men, we're really seeing it as a blend of practicality and effortless coolness. And there's really just a focus on heritage with this look. And I think we've seen this for years at every country music festival, but I think this year people are really paying homage to their American roots.
Look, boots, hats, jeans, everything. To me, this is about not just about celebrating the Western lifestyle and Western culture, but it also supports a lot of Montana businesses, frankly.
Yeah, absolutely. The next trend, I would say, is, I like to call it modern bohemian. So, and this is really more female-focused, and it's a focus on, you know, flowing garments and light and airy fabrications. This year, it's a little bit more fitted than previous years, so you might have a flowing maxi skirt with a fitted top. Still, you have that focus on organic materials like suede and leather, and there's an incorporation of crochet as well.
Yeah, very interesting. I love to see the red, white, and blue as a fashion term, because I think it's a sign of patriotism, seeing a revival as well, not just the Western lifestyle, but a patriotic revival as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people now more than ever want to celebrate their American culture. And I think it's a great thing. And we're seeing it in fashion. And then the last look I like to call Coquette Cowgirl. So Coquette is characterized by hyper-feminine elements like ruffles, lace, bows, soft color palette, like we've been seeing a lot of Better Yellow, for example. And these choices are paired with Western staples like cowboy boots and a cowboy hat. So you can think a ditzy print floral dress with ruffles, and you pair that with a classic pair of brown cowboy boots, or a gingham print corset top and a soft pink that is paired with a pink cowboy hat. So it's playful and feminine on its interpretation of Western style.
That Under the Big Sky, that is a massive festival as well. I'm so glad I'm retired from the military now, because we had a campsite. We had tickets. Oh. We were going to go camping with friends, and then the military's like, oh, we changed the exercise date. So it's like, I couldn't make it to the music festival. But that's all right.
Are you going to go this year?
You know, I won't make it this year, but that's all right. I'm getting the pontoon boat out. So as long as I can get out on the water, that's all right. That's fine with me. Get the camper out on occasion as well. Well, Aisha Nicole, Senior Vice President of Creative and Marketing at Boot Barn, great to have you on the show. And you guys got locations all across Montana.
We do. The closest one to the actual festival is in Kalispell. Are there any musicians that you're specifically looking forward to listening to this weekend?
Oh, well, I won't be making the event. So I've got Cody Johnson on my pontoon boat playlist, though. So I'll be going full Kojo when I'm out on the water. All right, Aisha, great to have you on the show.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. Pretty obvious, right? You think different, talk different, but if you feel different, you drive different. So if you're high, just don't drive. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.